The internet is flooded with information about the coronavirus, and it can be hard to find sound advice. Sometimes it feels like there are no right answers. Dr. Meilan Han, a pulmonologist at the University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor, is with us to help us all think through some of the difficult choices everyone is being forced to make these days. Good to have you here with us, Dr. Han.
Thank you.
Let's dive right in. Our first question comes from Roy in Tucson, Arizona.
I am healthy now. But for any of us who may experience symptoms like high temperatures or difficulty breathing, and who, like me, live alone, how do we determine, before it's too late to act, when we should continue to isolate and ride it out versus get ourselves to a hospital because we may need to be on a ventilator or need other interventions?
This is such a tough question. We've all heard about people whose symptoms have set in overnight really quickly. Dr. Han, what would you advise somebody like Roy?
Right. So every city has a local health system with hotlines. And so if someone is concerned, the first thing to do is to call your local health system and your hotline, and they're going to ask you a series of questions. And that includes things like, are you short of breath? Are you running a fever? And do you have a cough? Everyone will have a slightly different threshold for bringing people in for testing, depending on access and availability of kits. But the increasing number of those symptoms, and particularly if you've been exposed, will trigger you to be able, hopefully, to get access to a test. What I would say is to all of the listeners out there is that probably the most concerning thing and the thing that would ultimately require hospitalization is inability to breathe. Hmm. So if people are experiencing shortness of breath, that's really the trigger to get in.
So I guess the takeaway is consult your doctor and they will tell you whether or not you should be coming to the hospital or the advice nurse, as the case may be.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Our next question is from Cameron in Brooklyn.
Are there any tips for jogging outside during this time? Or should it just be avoided altogether?
We've had so many questions along these lines. Another one comes from Amanda in Minneapolis, who writes, I'm still confused about whether or not we should be going for walks outside. All reports say the virus can live in the air for up to 3 hours. So even if I keep a 6-foot distance on a walk, couldn't I potentially be breathing virus contaminated air along the route? This seems to be a very common concern for people.
You know, the one good thing and one thing I'm looking forward to about spring is the ability to actually get outside and get some fresh air.
Right. I guess it's still pretty cold in Michigan.
The good news is that, the likelihood of getting infected really has to do with concentration. And so when you're outside, there's so much air mixing around that even if someone was standing in a spot and coughed, a few minutes ago, the likelihood that a significant amount of virus would land in your lungs to infect you is very low. So please, everybody, do get out, I would say, and enjoy the sun, walk, run, get your exercise.
We got this question from Jackie Putnam on Twitter, who asks, any advice for people caring for their adult children with intellectual disabilities or autism if they become ill? My son would be very hard to control if he was alone at the hospital with strangers, she writes.
You've really touched on a nerve here, and this is something we as healthcare providers are really, really struggling with because of the limited amount of protective equipment and trying to protect visitors and patients. Unfortunately, we are in a position right now where visitors into the hospital are extremely limited, particularly into the COVID wards. So, I really empathize, and we as healthcare workers are doing everything we can to bridge those gaps between family and affected loved ones. But this is really hard for everyone right now.
Yeah, sounds like this is one of those situations where there just is not a good answer yet.
Yeah.
We have a question here from Courtney in Danville, California, who asks, as the need for blood is expected to increase, what measures are in place to ensure that we won't have another pandemic of infected blood given to transfusion recipients? The current screening questions aren't accounting for community spread, she writes. What about donating blood?
Well, right now we actually need blood more than ever because people have been afraid to go to donation centers, and we still need the blood for all the sort of usual reasons that we need it.
Not COVID related, just the typical demands.
Not COVID related, exactly. Yeah. So, what we do know is this is a respiratory transmitted virus, and there's no evidence to actually suggest that it can be transmitted through the blood. We have some experience from related viruses, including SARS and MERS, and there was no evidence of bloodborne transmission. So, I think we can feel fairly safe about the blood supply from a COVID perspective.
That's reassuring. Dr. Han, just in our last minute, I know this is such a stressful time for everyone, but particularly for healthcare workers on the front lines. Is there something that you are doing to help keep moving forward and keep your balance these days?
You know, I was actually, and I know my friends out there are listening right now, but, you know, I've been reaching out to friends and FaceTiming and texting, and I'm actually feel in many ways closer to my colleagues than ever. We've been having super frequent calls, and everyone has been so supportive. And, you know, all of my colleagues at the hospital are stepping up in just amazing ways.
I am so glad to hear that. Thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for joining us to talk about it.
All right. Thank you.
Dr. Mailon Hahn, a pulmonologist at the University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor.